The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 575. I am your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Is it just me, or does Manny look as the clearest I've ever seen him?
Yes, he does. And, of course, we have Mr. Brian Mangioma.
What up?
All right, I'll let you guys vamp a little bit because we're not showing up on the stream. We could hear us. They could hear us just fine. So, just vamp a little bit until I figure this shit out. It's always something, man. Gotta have something.
Yeah, so, Manny, did you do anything different this time?
No, just the same stuff.
All right, we're back now. I mean, they could hear us anyway, so we're good. All right, guys, we're back with another show. It might just be the four of us tonight. We'll see what happens. I saw Rich lurking around in the show notes, so maybe he'll show up. But yeah, we'll see. Let's get into it, man. So we're actually going to start the show off with a couple of, I guess for the lack of a better term, leftover questions. The reason they're not traditional leftover questions because some of you guys asked these questions last week while we were live. It's like, yo, I don't check the Discord once we're live. So that's always have that 10 p.m. Eastern like cutoff. If you want to ask questions after that, you got to come into the live show, baby. You know, otherwise, you know, this situation will happen. But thankfully, we didn't get too many this week, so it's all good. Shout out to Brett who just joined us.
What's up, Brett?
All right, man. Let's get into it. George W. Cush. He goes, "Hey guys, hope you're all doing well." Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. You know. Question is, I think Sony made the right move by going back to exclusivity. Did any of you plan on not buying a PS6 if their games had stayed on PC? No, I plan not to buy it because I expect cross-gen games, remasters and shit. You know, PS6... You know, unless I get a review unit, I'm waiting on that one. Because I don't think, if we get a repeat of the PS5 generation, I'm going to be good for at least 2 years. I'm not going to miss anything. So all the same games will be on both systems, especially since we got the PS5 Pro. So I'm not even worried about that. But in all fairness, there was a point where I did say that if PlayStation games came to PC, that I would just get I would just focus on PC. That's changed now. I obviously can't talk about Crimson Desert, but I have been playing Crimson Desert on PC. I'm like, you know what? I don't want to deal with this shit anymore either. You know, PC gaming stuff. But that's what the Steam machine is for, right? Go ahead.
But also, would you say that the reasoning is also because of just how insane the prices for PC hardware has gotten?
Yeah, exactly. That's the other problem. So that's my answer. No, I'm gonna wait gonna wait on the PS6. We'll see what happens, because I think we're gonna see a repeat of this gen, maybe even worse, you know. And who even knows when this generation is gonna start? I think this generation is gonna last longer. I think it's the next gen is probably gonna start 2028 minimum, could be 2029 as well, you know. Very interesting times, man. A shout out to Chris who just joined us. But yeah, was there anybody here who was considering, skipping PS6 because the games would be on PC that are now I may have to get it now?
No, because granted, my new computer, I'm not running my new computer, but granted, my new computer is worlds better than my current computer, but I'm not in that headspace. I don't like to game on my computers. If anything, I'll just, whatever console that I decide to go with, probably with the PlayStation, I'll just buy that. But I've never bought a PlayStation day and date either.
Yeah, that's right.
I've always at least waited at least a few years. I almost felt like I could have waited. I almost felt like I could have waited a little longer and then just maybe invested in a Pro.
Yeah.
Because it literally came out like the not far from when I bought the thing, bought the Slim, and then not to mention the issues that I had with my Slim. But I would wait. I'd wait on it, one buy it day and date.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else want to jump in on this?
I went the other way.
What's the other way?
Further away. Like, honestly, Microsoft has foobarred things up so massively that, depending on the Steam machine, usually I'm an all-in kind of guy. Like, I've had every console for almost every generation up until the Switch 2. That was the first time I did not. And I think I'm going to continue my streak. Microsoft, I was really afraid of where they were going, and I don't love the price on the Osiris and the fact that they're like, I just kind of trying to do what Steam Machine does, but
what the fuck is the Osiris?
Or whatever the fuck the new Xbox is, they're calling it.
The Helix. Name. Well, we don't know what the price is. They haven't announced it.
Yeah, well, I've heard talks about it, and if it's going to be above $1,000, and it's like one of those, okay. First of all, we can't do this anymore, and that's almost guaranteed. Like, we can't do all the consoles. But honestly, like, this for me is the nail in the coffin. And I know I'm one of those people that I'm like, fucking principles, and I don't understand on that shit. But like, this generation has really just. I was pissed at Sony at the beginning of the generation. I'm kind of appalled at them by the end. And this is, I think, is the nail in the coffin for me. I'm like, I don't want to support this company. Like, when you get to a point where you're like altering the market for nobody's benefit but your own, I think that's why the same reason I'm like, I think I'm fully on AMD right now, because the shit Nvidia is doing by creating their own artificial scarcity and then using that as justification to bump their prices, I'm like, yeah, see, now you're fucking with whole markets in really immorally gray areas to just boost your profits. I'm like, there's the normal shittiness of business, and then there's like the extra super crunchy version of shittiness in business. And I feel like, by pulling back, and it's not about pulling back their exclusives. I want to make that real clear. It's about pulling back their exclusives at a point in the market where there is almost no benefit to do so other than to just try and like fuck over the competition. And I don't mean that in like a competitive way. I mean that in like a petty kind of way. Like, oh, well, if Xbox is going to be on console, then we got to pull back from that. Like, you are already trouncing Xbox. Like, do you really think that this small mercy rule is going to make them competitive? Like, you are so worried about everybody else in the industry coming close to your market share, like, combined. Like, Sony is never going to be happy with 51% of the market share by themselves, and then the rest can be spread out between everybody else. That's not what they want. They want an impossibly large and irremovable portion of the market share now and forever, so they can just do whatever the fuck they want. Them and Nintendo, pretty much the same. And I'm done. I'm in no way supporting Sony from here on out. I'm done.
Yeah. Chris, since you joined us while the question was going, the question is, did you plan on not buying a PS6 if their games had stayed on PC?
No, I didn't have any plans not to buy it. Every console purchase choice like I've made is that there's just key titles on there, and the reason I invest in consoles in the first place is like I work with computers all day. Like, gaming on PC is great, but like that's why I love the Steam Deck, that I don't have to be sitting at my desk all the time. So that's why I like playing on PlayStation. Also, it kind of, for me, it became the center of my living room. All my streamings run off of it. So when my daughter wants to watch Disney Plus or whatever, it's a PlayStation goes on, So I never had any doubt in my mind about like the next one. Like, I'm sure there'd be tiles and whatever. And just because that they were porting stuff over to PC, that it'd make a difference. I'm just not getting that version, right? I just buy it on the PlayStation. Now they pull back exclusivity, there's more of a reason, but that didn't deter me. I was like, but what would deter me is if there was nothing to play. If they were going to launch PS6 and it's just like, hey, it's the next PlayStation. Okay, and what do you have? And if there's nothing, if there was a drought of titles at launch, if there's not like, Elden Ring 2 or something that really would make the system shine, and then that's pretty much the place to play it. I would probably put it off. I don't say I would never buy it, but I might not get it day one.
Yeah. Carlos, what about you?
Yeah, I'm one of those people that, you know, like Brett mentioned, gets everything day one, you know, every generation. But and that's been me for the most part, you know, pretty much my entire adult life. But I think things have changed. I just don't, I'm not as motivated enough to want to get consoles. I mean, obviously, we'll have to see what they say whenever they announce or release the PS6. If they say something like, oh, you know, Elden Ring 2 day one, PlayStation 6 exclusive. Well, I'm definitely going to get a PS6 if there are any around, you know. But if they're, and it's probably what this is going to happen, because it's happened the last two generations. If all they're going to do is, oh, but, you know, we don't believe in generations bullcrap. And they're going to be supporting both systems by releasing all their games on both consoles for the next couple of years at the beginning of the life cycle. And there's really no point. Then I'll just wait until there's a PS6 Slim. Like how when Manny entered the generation, he didn't miss on anything.
It's true.
You could have played all those games on PS4. God of War, if he liked it, or Horizon or any of those games. They all were on PlayStation 4. So there's really no reason why to get a PS5 day one. So unless you're, you know, selling them for a profit, cause they're going for crazy prices.
I remember that.
So yeah, there, for me and Xbox, there's really no point for the Xbox, cause I already have a PC. Unless the new Xbox Helix, when it comes out, is meaningfully better than the PC that I currently have. And it's cheap. Like it's $1,200, $1,500. Then I might consider it, but I really doubt that.
That has a steeper ask, because the Steam machine is right there, right? Why would you invest in Project Helix when the Steam machine is probably going to be comparable? So I don't see a reason to buy an Xbox at all at this point.
Yeah, I mean, because I did have an Xbox One, but this generation I skipped because, again, like Carlos, PC, you know? All right, Brian, what about you? What's your answer to this question?
I'm just finding it, again, the issue that I have is I'm finding exclusives to be less and less impactful to the way that I game. And unless there's going to be some sort of meaningful exclusive, then I probably won't buy a PS6. I would probably buy it because I have friends that are playing GTA 6 and they'd want to play GTA 6. So that's the only reason why I would buy it, because I honestly cannot think of any other reason why I want to buy a PS6 at this point, because, yeah, I have nothing. Like, if the PS6 is going to be somewhat... Sorry. If the exclusives on PS6 is going to be somewhat comparable to the exclusives on PS5, then I really have no reason to buy it, because I don't enjoy most of them, so I probably won't even bother. Again, the only reason why I can see myself buying a PS6 is probably just to play current games on the TV with my partner, and that's about it.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff. Moving on here. Kind of similar question also from Mr. George W. Cush. For those of us, or those of you who do not own one, what would make you buy a Switch 2?
What would make me buy a Switch 2?
If it came with a Steam box?
I mean, this is the same. It's the same reasoning why I never invested in an Xbox. There's just not enough reasons for me specifically to want to buy it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I do want to play. What was it? The last Mario game. I do want to play the Donkey Kong game. But at the same time, I don't see those as enough of a reason to go invest in them for just two titles that I have a passing interest in. And I don't foresee the Switch to putting out anything that would just make me want to instantly buy it. It's just like, all right, you know, I like those titles, but not enough to want to purchase a console
for. Yeah. For me, because, you know, I could bring the one from the office and play that. Because I have thought about it. Would I buy this myself? Probably not. There's just Donkey Kong's the only reason I already beat that game. I don't know. And it is cool playing those retro games, but there's other ways of playing those retro games, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not really much of a reason, to be honest. Yeah, who else doesn't own a Switch, and what would make you get it?
Chris, do you have a Switch too?
No, I don't. The only thing that would make me get it is if your daughter wanted it. She wants it, but that's nice to want things.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, drop the price, right?
They got to drop the price significantly. I'd say at least it's got to be $350 at least to make me consider that. And then on top of that, they need more games. Like, Donkey Kong's nice and all. Metroid ain't it. And they got Yoshi and stuff coming out. Mario Tennis, Golf, whatever they came out. I don't care about that. There's got to be more stuff. And honestly, yeah, the price is too damn high. That's the main thing. They got to drop that price. And I consider it.
Yeah. Brian, what are your thoughts?
Ironically, the same answer as my answer previously. Because, again, it has to be the games. That's why I bought the Switch 1 in the first place. I wanted to play that Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu game. Granted, that was pure nostalgia, but it got me to buy the console. And that was mostly it. So, unless it comes with some cool games, but I don't see it because I think Nintendo just doesn't care anymore. They'll probably just crap out another Zelda game and Mario games until the end of time.
Yeah. All right. George W. Cush also asked us a question about, what game do we want another developer to make? But we've answered that type of question before, so we'll skip that. Moving on here to Mr. Lego Bro. This one's kind of funny. What genres do you guys hate the most out of these three? Roguelike, survival, or battle royale? This one, I want to amend the meme. Why not all three? Because I don't like any of these. Really don't like any of these.
Why the hate?
Huh?
Let me ask, I get Battle Royale. That shit, it's infected everything. But, like, why the hate on the other two?
Well, roguelike, I don't like. I've stated this many times, but I don't like roguelikes. I don't like losing my progress. That's very frustrating. And survival is just too fucking tedious for me.
No. I know that. But, I mean, like... Okay, so like the way I look at it, and maybe I'm biased here because I like survival games and
roguelikes.
I play some roguelikes. some, not all of them. Like I like the ones that you do carry more progression over. Like Hades 2 does a pretty good balance of that. But it's been my experience that roguelikes and survival games, they pretty much stay in their lane. Like they're not, you know, adapted from other games. They're not bolted into other things. They're not systems that are thrown in other games. Like, you know, the survival game is a survival game. It's Enshrouded. It's Valheim. It's Green Hell. It's not going to be thrown into another game. The closest I've ever seen is Fallout 4 and their settlement system, right? And roguelike, I don't see that shit bleeding into regular games at all. In fact, I've seen roguelike elements bleed out of other games. So I'm kind of like, two of these seem to be minding their own business, and one of them seems to be trying to get its dick into everything. So why are they lumping them together? I'm just curious.
I don't know. That you got to ask him. He's the one that asked the
question. I am. You know? I am.
Yeah.
I'm doing that now. I'm doing that right here. But also, I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah,
make a conversation.
Enough. I think that's fair.
The podcast.
Yeah. I wish he was in the chat to answer, though. All right. What about the rest of you guys? Out of those three genres, which one do you hate the most?
The Battle Royale. I can I don't utterly hate roguelikes, although I don't really play them, but I feel like it has a better chance of changing my mind to play it than the Battle Royale game, because Battle Royale involves multiplayer and I don't care for multiplayer.
You know what? That's a good point. I'm changing my answer. I'm going Battle Royale. That's my most hated one of these three, because you're right. The other two at least are not forcing you to play online.
The question I think I am curious, Tony.
Yeah.
Having an intense dislike for roguelikes, yet growing up on them. How did you end up there, I wonder?
Roguelikes did I play growing up?
Did we
every
play
NES
Rogue?
Game ever made?
Which one?
No.
Every NES game ever made? All the games were roguelike. Like all of the games that didn't save our like The nature of a roguelike of like you lose all your progress when you die, like that was all of our games growing up.
No, it's different, man. That like you dying and then you got to restart the game. It's not the same as like you die and then you come back to that same level and you lose all the equipment that you lost. Like when we were growing up, as you got an equipment and you get into a save point, you keep your fucking game, like your fucking equipment. Roguelikes were not. I could even look this up. When did Rogue come out? You know, like none of those.
Well, games, I mean,
yeah,
okay.
you can't can't retroactively say every game was a roguelike because they were difficult and like had three lives. That's insane. You know, that's crazy.
Well, yeah, but like in the context of this conversation,
I can it's not.
Kind of use them interchangeably. Like for you, when I'm talking to you specifically, yes. I mean, like, so coming from a place where, let me rephrase this, coming from a place where we used to lose all of our progress every time we fully died or turned off the system, how did you find yourself in a place with disdain for roguelikes? I mean, this is a general curious question, not to undermine you. I'm like, hey, I'm just curious, like, was there a point when you're like, oh, thank God I can save, I'm never going back there again? Or was it like,
I reject the premise.
Yeah. I mean, even older NES games had something. I remember I had my notebook full of like
codes they would give you. Yeah, Mike Tyson's Punch Out, you get a code. Mega Man, you get a code, you know.
Castlevania, all the Castlevanias, I don't know Castlevania 1, but 2 and 3 had codes. I remember drawing the symbols out in the grid to remember where you left off, right?
So, yeah, I just reject the premise. Yeah, I just reject the premise.
Yeah, so I remember Ghosts and Ghouls and Battletoads. That was my show.
Those were not roguelikes, man.
They were not roguelikes, but they were more punishing than current roguelikes is my point. Like, at least in Hades, like, I get to keep some of the shit that happens when I die. It's not like Battletoads where it sends you back to the beginning and they're like, get better, loser.
Yeah, but there was never anything to collect. There's no like weapons or armor or anything. You didn't get you were just you, right? You just had your fists.
There was no exactly. There was no progress. There was no I bought these items.
The other thing.
Oh yeah, that's the other thing. I hate the randomization. I never liked that. Ever liked that in any game. You have that shit, I'm done. I'm like, what the fuck? I can't adjust to anything if you keep changing shit up on me, you know? Battle Royale, that's got to be the worst. You know what? I'll go in order. Most hated Battle Royale, then second most hated roguelike, and then third hated survival. Survival I could deal with to some extent, you know? But roguelikes are just fucking annoying, man. I played fucking Hades, Returnal, and some other fucking roguelike, and that was me trying to be nice. You know,
fuck Returnal.
Damn.
Oh, you can hear somebody like, I like roguelikes. Fuck Returnal. That shit was a chore. That was like unpleasant chore from beginning to end. And Hades 1, honestly, like that shit rode the edge for me. Like, Hades 2, I'm not trying to get you to play, but I will say this.
Dead Cells is the other one. I played Dead Cells. I hated it. I didn't like that one either. Hades, I'm good. I didn't like the first one. Go ahead. Yeah.
No, I know. But what I'm saying is, I think roguelikes are coming to a place where they're balancing out and figuring out the right amount of carryover. So like you a lot of times you keep currency or like unlock weapons and things like that, and then you can take those weapons onto your next run kind of thing. Like that's how Hades 2 is a lot of like, oh, thank God they did away with some of the RNG and like, I mean, you still definitely get some of it, but I mean, half the game is about like reinforcing certain parts of the RNG, like you give a fucking nectar to Zeus and you get a fucking charm that means the first thing that drops is a boon from Zeus, and the more times you use it, the stronger it gets and the more effective and reliable it gets. So you can start to be like, and you can switch them out between like levels too, so you can start to be like, okay, so I want to make sure I get like, you know, this one and this one and this one. So you can kind of start to tailor it. It's an interesting place. I've watched the evolution of roguelikes over the years, and it has gone from a place where I used to be kind of with Tony. I was like, fuck that. This is Battletoads all over again. I'm not doing that shit.
It's not Battletoads at all.
I have trouble with Battletoads. I'm fucking connecting it. God damn it.
Fair enough, but they're totally different games.
Like, I didn't play a lot of it. Like, a lot of the games that use those codes, like, I didn't fucking use that shit. Sorry, like that's not how I roll. Unless it was an RPG, my ass didn't save. It fucking rolled through until I got good enough, and then I beat it. I had a friend tell me one time, and I still to this day don't know if this was a compliment or an insult. Just look at me one day and be like, you know, I used to think you were really good at video games, but now I just realize you're incredibly persistent. And I'm like, thanks, I guess.
Okay.
But also, it can be both. I whoop your ass all the time. The fuck are you talking about?
I think I fall into that category. I don't consider myself particularly good, but I'm fucking persistent. Or I used to be. I'm old now. I don't want to deal with a bunch of shit. You know?
Yeah. Same.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else? What are your most hated genres out of these? Or what's your most hated genre out of these three?
I want to throw
Battle Royale for sure.
Battle Royale. Brad, you already had an answer.
Yeah, no, I want to throw extraction shooters in here.
Yeah, but you know what? That could go into pile. I'm not going to go off on a tangent. I could go off. I think I hate more game genres than I like, to be honest. But that's a different thing. Brian, what about you of these three?
Battle Royale, yeah. Top of the list. I just don't understand why people like it as a concept. At least with the other two, I can stomach them because they have some really cool concepts. But Battle Royale, I think it's mostly just nonsense. It just seems like they just took out all the fun of multiplayer and they said, okay, you know what, just have fun in the giant pool there. Good luck. So no, but at least with like multiplayer, it's like, okay, you're in a team or something, or there's an objective. It seems to be like the worst of multiplayer, just Battle Royale. So no fun.
Look at that, a rare throwdown agreement. Everybody agrees. We don't like Battle Royales. Oh, man. Asir Nefer says he doesn't like dance genre. I'm guessing rhythm games? I don't like those either, brother. I don't like those either. You know, that's why I skipped Hi-Fi Rush. I'm like, I'm good, you know?
I got to say, like, I'm kind of showing all our age on that one.
Oh, with rhythm games?
Yeah, like dance games. Like, I think those have been dead for... a while now, brother.
Yeah, like fucking. Yeah. He's also, gonna say we're he said
old, like, even if we wanted to, we're all too old to play any of those fucking dance games. Like, fuck that shit.
Yo, Brett. Next, he's gonna say his most hated genre is the guitar hero genre. That's been dead too.
I will still go 10 toes down on Taiko Drum Hero, hey. Or whatever the fuck that game. That game was like ridiculously fun when you were drunk. See, I was drunk a lot in that time of my life. Like, that was a period.
The thing about Hi-Fi Rush, though, you don't need to stay on rhythm. You don't need to do that.
Yeah.
But there is a bonus if you do.
Yeah.
That's it.
See, Hi-Fi Rush and Crypt of the Necrodancer, I give the exception of the rule, too.
Yeah, both those games. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are more like action rhythm games, though.
Yeah. All right. Moving on here. Lego Bro, another question. What changes can Xbox make to go in a more positive direction?
Or
you want to go first, maybe Brett?
Maybe stop
firing. Realistically? People?
Yeah, realistically.
I'm sorry, that was a sound of exasperation. That wasn't me having an answer.
Yeah. I mean, Mandy, that's a good one, too. Stop firing people. Stop firing people.
Can you rehire the people that you fired? Can you, like, go back and track down the talented ones?
Yeah.
Because I don't know if plugging the leak is going to do it at this point.
Yeah. Again, the only answer I have, and it's not realistic, you know, exclusives, lockdown, mm-hmm. Call of Duty, lockdown, Doom, lock all that shit down. That'll get you by people to buy fucking consoles, but they're not going to do that.
I know what my answer is.
Uh-oh. Go ahead.
Sell the whole division to Steam.
Oh, shoot. Gabe, where you at, bro?
Gabe's like, I got my own thing. He's like, I don't need Xbox. I don't need Microsoft. Fuck Microsoft. Come on. He kind of did say that because he used to work for them.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Yep. And the whole reason why he created that studio is because of his disdain for fucking Microsoft.
Oh, so okay. And I know you're not listening, Gabe, but I hope this gets to the university somehow. How beautifully, poetically justified would it be for you to leave a company you're disgusted with only to acquire years later after becoming a multimillionaire?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Like, the story writes itself. Let's do it for the plot.
I love it. What about the rest of you guys? What can Xbox do to, you know, go in the right direction? I know it's a tough question. It's a tough one. I don't know, man.
Did I answer? I don't know.
I don't know if you did. you did.
Stop firing people. Yeah,
there's your answer.
That's my answer.
Yeah. Yeah, we could just move on because this one's a tough one. Kuel, I'm glad you're here. So I could tell you we're not going to be answering your questions tonight. I specifically told you this is a gaming podcast, bro. But I will answer your questions on the AMA special. Just be aware the AMA special is in September. So just keep that in mind. But, like, again, I appreciate the questions, but this is a gaming podcast, not a tech podcast. All right. But if you want to reframe them in a gaming way, you can. Anyway, moving on here. Ooh, we got a sponsored question from Mr. Ramudis. He is sponsoring one of George W. Cush's questions. I know some of you must This one's funny. I know some of you must really be stressed over Marathon Survival. Do you think that game will last longer than Highguard? Yes, it will, but I think it's going to die ultimately.
No, no, but we got to wait. We got to wait for the single player mode to see how great this game is. Oh,
yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, again, like nobody on the panel is playing Marathon. And I'll be honest, I think Illustrated Dio is the only one in the Throwdown Discord that's playing this game. No one cares. Mm. No one cares about this game, man. Shout out to Reggie. I know you're playing
longevity. That's why I'm planning to play it next year.
Yeah, there you go.
Remember, it's not a sprint, Tony.
Yeah, it isn't. It is a marathon. I don't think we have more to say about Marathon. You know, it probably will last longer.
I have a question.
Go ahead, brother.
And it's a question because it's almost been a week now, or maybe actually over a week, maybe. Yeah, over a week. Where are those sales numbers?
It's a good question. And Brian, do you think when we get those sales numbers that the media is going to try to tell you that they're not bad?
Of course, but I don't think we're getting sales numbers ever. I think this is just one of those games that they're just going to say, yeah, it's sold beyond expectations, but we're not going to tell you how much that is. We're just going to say that it's beyond expectations, and everyone else just has to be quiet about it. And then a couple of months later, game is pulled from stores, game is pulled online, and that's it.
I almost feel like they're going to just keep this one out on just to spite it all, because they don't want to have another game that they've totally ended.
Yeah,
sitting out there. So,
you think they're going to make the servers peer to peer?
I don't know if they're going to make it peer to peer, but I feel like they're just going to stick it out a little longer so the people will just go, again. Here you go, PlayStation, with your failure in multiplayer titles.
This would be another one, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Man. Sony, stick to what you do best, bro.
I mean, to be honest, I feel like they don't know what they do best, especially since they replaced everybody who was there.
Yeah. That's right, yeah.
In their defense, they did something twice for once, so it's not a toe dip.
Two toes. I mean, at least, you know, they at least for one moment in time, they had at least 12 toes inside of the water.
12, damn. Motherfuckers only usually have 10 toes. They're freaks. Yeah.
That radiation does numbers.
Yeah, yeah. Remember when your kid is born, you got to check for 10 toes, not 12. You got 12, you got a mutant.
Because that's the 12 toe dip, and then they started chopping toes off.
Oh yeah. I get your analogy though. 12 games, you know. Quell says, that was my bad. I was watching the Sky Swirl. You know, I'm glad you said it because I didn't want to say it. Quell, you know, I got respect for you. But when you asked those questions, I was like, this motherfucker's drunk, isn't he? And you just confirmed it, so thank you. Oh, man.
It'll get you drunk.
It'll get you drunk. All right. Jolly Yellow Nerd, do you think it's possible that Sony would try to... and let me finish the question, guys. Let me finish the question, because I know halfway through, someone's going to yell, hell no.
Controversial statement in the wings.
Yeah, let me finish the question. Let me ask the question in full. Do you think it's possible that Sony would try to include Steam playability on the PS6? I suspect not, but I don't pretend to know everything about these things. They will absolutely not do that shit, bro. No way in hell. So you're correct in your assessment. Especially now that they're trying to I mean, if you're going to believe the reports, which I do, they're scaling back on exclusivity on PC because of the Steam machine. So
and the Xbox. Yeah.
Yep. So you would never, ever see that in a million fucking years. I think that's an easy one to answer. You know, right. Moving on here. Ooh, one of our longest fans, longest lasting fans out there, man. Been there since day one. You know, back in the SDFU and play days, Mr. Eurocarni, Bitbag too. We've known him since the Bitbag, you know, old school, Mr. Eurocarni. Question: people want Xbox to name the new system the Xbox Helix, like its code name. Are there any names you guys would use if you could choose? I personally want to call it the Xbox Natal. That's a nice throwback there. Yeah, it's a good question because obviously Xbox never names its systems after the code names. The Xbox Series X was not Scorpio, for example, you know? I don't think they're going to call it Helix either. What would I want them to call it? The 720. Let's go.
take the 720? Yeah?
Let's go
back. I mean, according to them, that they're supposed to be doing some sort of 720 and bringing back Xbox, right?
Yeah, right.
So yeah, sure. Let's do it. Let's go 720.
I feel like at that point, you're trying to figure out how many times people are spinning around.
Yeah, yeah. 720 is like two spins, you know.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And twirling and twirling and twirling.
I think I actually Freudian slipped this earlier. I'm going to go with Osiris because hopefully that shit's coming back from the dead.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Sirenifer says, call it the Xbox ROOD. That's funny, man. For no reason whatsoever, Carlos, what do you think, man?
So, fellas, I know what the console is going to be called.
Uh oh.
And you know why what the console is going to be called?
Insider Gaming told you.
No, not necessarily. It's more intuition than insider trading.
Okay.
who's the current head of Xbox right now?
Oh, Asha Sharma. Oh, I know where you're going with this.
Well, she has a pretty hefty background in AI. So I just asked AI.
Uh-oh.
Like, hey, well, what's the next console going to be called? I mean, I'm pretty sure they're doing the same thing. It's like, well, what should we call this? I don't know. What are we going to do?
The Butter Console.
And they got it's going to be the Butter Console PC. And, you know, it's going to release on 2027. And a layaway plan. So what they said here is a couple of options. So they said Xbox Fusion or Xbox Nexus. And they even have a category. It says the professional theory, Xbox Pro or Xbox Ultra.
Oh, shit.
And then their fourth is Xbox Helix, ironically enough.
That's funny.
Clip this. If for any reason, at the end of the year when they announce this or early next year when they announce this, if they choose any of those names, you heard it here. You've heard it here first, and we want confirmation in all bold caps. So, yeah, you never know. But maybe they're asking their local large language model to come up with a name.
Maybe. I'm gonna go with they're gonna call it the Xbox 11. You know, shout out to Windows 11. I don't know. It's a good question. What? Because here's the thing. You know, whatever name they go with, it's going to be stupid. They always are. They're horrible names. The only one that had a good name was just the original Xbox. After that, I was like, wait, what? What are we doing? 360 was weird. Fucking Xbox One, you know, that was fucking weird. Xbox Series X, that was weird, you know?
Yeah, I've been trying to come up with the dumbest, most confusing name I could think of to, like, because that's probably the truest. So I don't know. Xbox One takes the cake.
Yeah, Xbox One was really bad. Oh, go ahead, Chris.
It's funny, Carlos. What AI did you ask for the names?
Well, Chris, I thought about this. I was going to use ChatGPT.
You should have, man.
But they're going in the way of the Dodo for a lot of companies.
Oh.
So I just use Google Gemini since, you know, looks like they might have the most staying power of all of them.
I think so, yeah. they're actually making money off that shit, unlike other people. So,
what about Copilot? I mean,
Carlos, that's Copilot.
That's where I was going with that.
Yeah.
You didn't ask Microsoft's AI.
Ask Microsoft's
AI.
That
is the dumbest name. That's the dumbest name to give it is the Xbox Copilot.
Copilot. There you go.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Well, and here's for those that don't know it, Copilot isn't a, like, they use pretty much, you know, ChatGPT. I think they still do, unless they changed something in the last
on the back end. But right, everything is still branded Copilot. I mean, even Office is now branded
Copilot. Everything's right? Copilot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So imagine the whole Xbox Copilot. I'm like, oh, that is a dumb name.
No, no.
Only do that.
You heard it here first.
Okay, so what's the gaming equivalent to Copilot?
I
don't have an answer here. I'm not being a smartass. I'm like genuinely
trying
to be like, what's Copilot but gaming related? And it's that's good.
It's
Battle Royale, yeah?
Because they're putting Copilot in Xbox. Like
it's on Windows 11 right now. If you hit a certain key combination while you're playing a game, gaming Copilot will come on. is a menu for it.
Oh.
Okay, but here's
already there.
Here's my thing. I don't think they're going to advertise that. Like, AI isn't, like, I think one of the big problems that a lot of consumers have with
I'm asking Copilot now, by the way. Anyway, go ahead, Brett.
Okay. Is that, like, everybody hates AI. Like, nobody likes being told AI is a thing, but, like, companies like AI and cost-saving measures, and people like AI when they don't know it's AI, right? Like, when they, you know, in the fucking unwittingly, like, AI fucking script or music or some other thing, because they're like, oh, that's equally mediocre to anything I found on Disney Plus. So, like, it's, but you gotta hide it, is my point. Like, I don't know if they're gonna put that shit out front.
Yeah. Okay. So here are the names it came up with. This is Copilot. The first one is Xbox Series H. And I'll give you the explanation.
That's a contender for the dumbest.
Yeah, it is. It is. This fits Microsoft's current naming structure. Series XS keeps the Series brand alive and uses H as a natural evolution from the codename Helix. It's the cleanest path if Microsoft wants continuity rather than a reboot. Hmm. And then it got lazy here. The next one is Xbox Helix. Bruh, they're not going to use that. This one's equally lazy. Xbox One PC. I'm going to use that. I like this one, Xbox Infinite, like Halo. Well, here we go. Xbox 5. They're not going to use that either, you know?
Oh, no, they're not.
Yeah.
That number actually makes way too much sense for them to use it. It
does, yeah, way too much. So I like Series H. I like that, but they're not going to use that, I don't think.
They would much rather, it's even though it's called Xbox 5, yeah, they'd probably call Xbox 6 just because.
to match the PS6, yeah.
Yeah.
There's letters.
Yeah. Gaming equivalent of shout out to Jeffrey. He goes, gaming equivalent of Copilot is that period when every game had Dragula.
God. Dragula.
Okay, I'm ready to make a prediction.
Okay, go ahead.
My actual prediction.
Oh.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because there's only one thing dumber than numbers. Omega.
Oh, Xbox Omega. Oh, shit.
Because it makes zero sense, because it's not the first, and because it's dumber than letters.
Yeah, there you go. You put that in accountability room.
I have.
It does make sense, because this will be the end of Xbox for sure.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, that's sure. The last one. I agree with that.
I do have another scenario. You know, clip it.
Clip it.
What's her name? Sharma's gonna go to the Game Awards or wherever they're gonna present this. Is like, you know, a lot of people love the name Helix. A lot of Xbox fans, you know, they're attached to Project Helix and they want to keep the name. Hear ya. We're naming it Xbox Helix.
Yeah, hear ya, yeah. Oh, by the way, Carlos, I thought your answer before was going to be Xbox Shawarma, you know?
Honestly, Helix isn't a bad name if they're planning to get out of console manufacturing.
Yeah.
Because the name denotes that the DNA is still there, which, you know, kind of elicits the idea of abandoning something. The shell the DNA is in. So, I mean, right name, wrong time.
Yeah. Brian, what do you think, man?
All these are good names. So I actually have no idea. Again, Xbox has no structure to the names. So it can be anything. I mean, we went from Xbox to 360. So they added some numbers. Then we went to Xbox One. So they took away the numbers and added some letters, and then now we have X and S. So they removed letters so that it's just a singular letter. So there's no consistency, there's no theming to it. So it can be anything. I mean, for we know, they could go to characters. So Xbox dollar sign. I don't know,
like Prince. Xbox carrot. The artist formerly known as Xbox.
You know,
exactly. Like, there's no rhyme and reason to this. So. Make me anything.
That's funny, man.
The console formerly known as Xbox.
Yeah, yeah. That's what it'll be. I'll be a symbol. You know, the Omega symbol, right, Brett? Then I'll call it the console.
That's what I'm saying.
Yep, the X. Also,
I feel like somebody's gonna go Alpha, and they're gonna go, no, Alpha's not testing well, and they'll go Omega, and I'll be like, yes. And
yeah.
Put like a fucking symbol. And it's just gonna be. I just want to share this. Other than the original Xbox, every code name has been so much cooler. Like, I want to take you down the list of if they had just kept the original names, right? We would have had Xbox, then Xbox Xenon, Xbox Durango, Xbox Scorpio, Xbox Lockhart, Xbox Scarlet, and Xbox Helix.
All of those are way better than what we actually got. All of those.
What? That's a dope list of names, actually. Whoever's making the names internally needs to make the names externally.
Yes, I agree with that.
Xbox Helix. Shout out to Nintendo Revolution.
You know, the Dolphin.
Well, you know, it's funny. Developers make up those code names, right? They're trying to hide what they're doing, so they come up with the project names. Then you got marketing people come in, and they think they're really smart, and then they'll come up with the actual name that goes to market.
It's funny. All right, moving on here. This is actually technically the last question, but I'm going to add one after this because I want to get you guys' thoughts on something. Okay, this is from Tall Geezy. What series should Xbox bring back to their first as their first exclusive to capture everyone's attention, or should they make a new title for their as their next exclusive, and what genre should it be? So I'm guessing he's saying if Xbox goes back to exclusives, should they bring back an old franchise or come up with something brand new?
I mean, what old franchise have they already not Weekend at Bernie'd?
Yeah.
Well, they still got one.
They got
one big one.
Which one?
Well, they got multiple, but here's Elder Scrolls 6. That's the easiest one. That's the obvious one they should do.
I can't make a good Elder Scrolls game.
What happened, Chris?
And he fired all the people who could.
Yeah.
I thought that was still in the works. I thought Elder Scrolls 6
Still in the works, yeah. But no, but I think Carlos is saying lock it down as an exclusive.
Oh, okay.
That'll get people to buy that fucking console. Tell you that.
Yeah, I mean,
well, no,
my question that I asked.
Absolutely. We talked about that when they acquired Bethesda.
Yeah. What's your question, Brett?
Would that cause a riot amongst gamers?
Yeah. And I would love it.
I don't know why. And I know that this is the case. I just don't know why. Like, Sony names exclusives. Everybody celebrates. Microsoft names exclusives. Riots break out. Why? I don't know, but I know.
Yeah. It is a little strange, isn't it?
Not everyone celebrated. There's a minuscule contingency of Xbox fans that were not happy.
Yeah, no, they were not. But yeah, I don't know. Cause yeah, it's like what, cause they do have a lot of franchises, but again, just make everything exclusive, man. Do that.
But like, make all your, like everything that you bought Xbox, make exclusive. Like, honestly, that's the only way to restart the console war. And I'm here for it. You know, but you, either one party has nobody has exclusives, or everybody does. Mm-hmm. Not half. Like this, that's fucking stupid.
Yeah,
I have a question.
What's up?
Why can't Xbox or PlayStation have a Crimson Desert moment? And what I mean with that is Crimson Desert is, as far as we know, of a new IP from a studio that doesn't, you know, may make a game that's kind of popular, but it's not popular within like you know, sort of Mario popular or Zelda popular or anything like that. But you know, they're releasing a new game and it's generated a lot of hype. We don't know if the game's going to be good or not, but it's generated a lot of hype and a lot of excitement within a lot of people. And it's a new IP, and you know, people are want to watch all the videos because they're intrigued. And why don't Xbox and PlayStation do anything? Like, we haven't seen anything from them do something like that in a while.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think I have the answer to this. Uh-oh. And the answer may shock you, but I think the answer is the only way that they can get those games is if they don't, well, they can't get that type of games because they themselves are Sony and Microsoft. Like, I think the reason why lots of the games like this are getting good attention is that they don't have a large studio being overbearing on them. Like, again, Crimson Desert.
Yeah.
Ooh, I love that synchronized moment. Crimson Desert, Expedition 33. Like, a lot of these titles just aren't being held by any type of large studio. Like, Stellar Blade. Also, there's no large studio there. And I think that's the issue, that these large studios just go in and they make decisions that override the creative process to some degree, and they end up with Marathon.
Well, Crimson Desert is a new IP, bro. It's not just Black Desert online, offline, man. Come on now. That's like saying Elden Ring is not a new different IP. It's like, yes, it is, you know?
I could understand where he would believe this.
I get it, but no.
But I think they actually strayed away from, and I know it sounds weird for a Korean studio, I think they actually strayed away from the roadmap of their successful MMO and actually maybe have made an actual RPG here. Because I've been real skeptical. I've been looking into this shit. I'll let you know. I think I've gotten enough to be like, I think I might be an early adopter. I'm willing, I think, to take a jump on this one. So I'll let you know. Not obviously early or any sort of review copy, but like I'll let you know as soon as we play it. Like this is a no life game. This smells like a no life game.
Well, if you guys want to know more, I will give you my full review on Thursday because I have been playing it. So I'll let you know, but I can't say anything more than that. So stay tuned. But my review will go up on March 18th on Tom's Guide. So please check that out. All right. Okay,
I love how Tony just like,
yeah,
possibly may have made or may have coined the best term for this game. Black Desert Offline.
Yeah, Black Desert Offline.
It's such a good term for it, and it works really well.
I love that. So let me ask, like, okay, on that term, I mean, do we have time to kill? We vamping
a little bit. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, this latest Final Fantasy and Dragon's Dogma, would those qualify? Because those kind of almost felt a little offline online, and if you know what I mean.
No, 16 was not an offline online game. If you know what I mean. No, not at all.
It didn't have that vibe to you, though.
Nope, not at all. I can't speak for Dragon's Dogma because I only played like a few hours of it. Dragon's Dogma 2 at a preview event. It felt like a normal RPG to me. It didn't feel like an MMO, but I didn't play the whole thing.
Dragon's Dogma reminded me a lot of Black Desert Online. Vibe, pacing, not necessarily combat. Actually, ironically enough, Black Desert Online is more action-oriented. They actually kind of give me the same vibe.
Interesting.
I've also played a fair amount of Korean MMOs, and they play different.
Yeah, maybe that's why. All right, so this is the question I wanted to pose to you guys. So you guys remember when Asha Sharma, you know, took over Xbox, one of the first things she explicitly said was, no more AI slop, right? She goes, we're not going to have that. Interestingly enough, at GDC, Microsoft held a panel talk about how they're going to implement AI into their games.
Yeah, but it's not going to be slop.
You believe there?
Yeah. So that's all you needed to know. That's all you needed to know.
So which literally, said it, I was like, that's bullshit.
Yeah, it's bullshit. So it's literally, hey, no AI slop. Here's fucking AI slop. So that's all you need to know. I don't know, but to me, any use of AI is instantly slop. So that's how I categorize it. So, yeah, what do you guys think about that?
I'd fight you on that when we had more time.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, no, I'm not surprised at all. Like, when she said it, I knew it was bullshit on his face because the whole directive of the entire company is AI integration. I mean, Microsoft, Nattel even said they're not going to be a software company in a few years. That software is pretty much dead. And that they're just going to integrate AI. It's going to be agents and whatever. So, of course, they're going to put that into Xbox, which she says that could be AI slop. I'm like, bullshit. That's the company directive. That's over you. You can't stop it. And there it is. Like, it's ridiculous. It was ridiculous on its face when she said it.
Yeah. I just find it funny that they just flipped, like, literally less than a month later, their stance.
I mean, I think it's ridiculous and stupid, but I don't even have to play the devil's advocate to fully kind of understand that that's kind of a false equivalency, I feel like.
Yeah, that's fair. You know, if that's your answer, because I did ask, how do you feel about that? You don't think it's hypocritical at all, right?
I mean, it depends on how they're using it. When you say AI slop, you're usually referring explicitly to almost unmanned generated AI content. Whereas when they say they're integrating AI, they're most likely talking to shareholders and are probably talking about cost cutting measures.
Yeah.
Because when we talk about the AI bubble, but
just before you go on, because just to give you context, they refer to it as AI helping you if you're stuck in a game.
Like, there's gonna be a lot of game journalists like that.
By the way, that's one of the responses in the tweet. Like, oh, you're showing game journalism mode.
Yeah, nice.
What was homeboy's name? The Cuphead dude?
Dean Takahashi. Yeah, Carlos, oh my God. That was the reply. Not only was it, oh, game journalist mode, and then they had the gif of Dean Takahashi fucking up
Cuphead. Oh, no. Why?
Piping something very similar.
They are like, hey, they are bread.
I mean, this last generation, but they're like, no. So like with the new screen, like if you're stuck in a game, it'll be able to tell where you are in the game, and then when you press the home menu, it'll pop up tutorial and hint videos and like it and like be integrated. Like, no, it doesn't. It doesn't fucking do any of that shit. All that happens is fucking Kratos' son just constantly pipes in halfway while I'm doing a fucking puzzle, uninvited, and ruining the whole goddamn thing. Like, I've heard that before, and like, I get, ooh, now AI, but like, okay,
My worry is that there won't be cohesive narratives anymore in at least in Xbox titles, right? They're gonna have the LLMs just generate dynamic dialogue, right? So when you talk to NPCs and stuff, everything they say is going to be in the moment or whatever. Will it make sense? I don't know, but I think that it's important to have, you know, the creatives like illustrators and writers and whatever come up with narratives, and you could do alternative takes and stuff, but I think that having just the LLMs just plopped into every character, like every character is an agent and they just figure out what to say in the moment, I don't know. I don't think that it's really ready for that stuff, and I think it's going to create for awkward scenarios. That's the slop where we're kind of talking about, right? Yeah. Not just visual slop, but then you have, you know, and then at that point when they're just trying to make everything agents just dynamic, you don't have any writers anymore, you don't have any artists anymore, right? So that's a problem.
Yes and no. Okay, so...
Like, oh my God, Brett, it's called the Gaming Copilot! Oh, no, God! Okay.
Wait, what is?
The
helper?
PC, oh, right? Yeah. That's what I was saying.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
That's what I said. I saw
the tea leaves were like slapping you in the face.
Oh, well, I didn't even need tea leaves. I saw it myself on my PC.
My PC? Yeah.
So, Chris.
My PC?
Yeah, go ahead, guys.
So I want to ask this as kind of as a DM, right? So like when you're talking about, like, I'm going to start off with where I agree. I agree that we're going to hit this point where dialogue is generated by agents, and we're going to hit this weird gulf where like they're not taking into account like perspective or unreliable narrators or anything, and so every character is just this omniscient prophet that doesn't have a personality. But I think that there's going to be an afterside to that. But I guess the other thing I want to ask is, like, as a DM, is dialogue really where all the story is told? Like, what about world building? I mean, it wouldn't be hard to like interact a world state and then have all AI chatbots reacting or checking and reacting to that world state before replying. Like, even I know that. So like, we're really talking now about like handcrafted dialogue, and we all saw Dragon's Age, right? Like, excuse me, Dragon Age. It lost that privilege. Like, I don't know that dialogue, and maybe this is just because like as a writer, my weakest place is dialogue, and I'm like, dialogue is just, I don't, unless it's like a fucking rallying speech, a lot of time it's either world or character building or character arcs that really grab me. Like, I can't think of anything off the top of my head that Aragorn said that is as cool as what Aragorn is.
I disagree with that.
Like, okay, name something Aragorn said.
Whatever. for Gondor, you know, no. But basically, I don't agree that dialogue is superfluous. Like, dialogue makes or breaks things. That's what it sounded like to me, you know?
No, I said it's not the... Look, it's one leg of a table.
Yeah.
Can the table stand without it? Yeah, but it's not a great table without it. But like, you also can't just be like, it's not a fucking poker, so you can't just discount the idea of world building and everything like that simply because, you know. Okay, and I don't think AI's, Jesus Christ, I hope AI would be set to do world building stuff.
It's already doing some people.
I was gonna say this is a slippery slope, right? Like, eventually it's not just gonna be like, hey, I'm we have writers outlining stuff and the LLM's filling in the rest of it, right? But then what's next? It's outlining it. Okay, so we're just crafting specifications. And then after that, who needs a DM? You're all fired. The thing is just doing all of that, right? So that's the thing.
And I agree with that.
World building, everything, level design, it'll all be, they're just going to push it in. And then what gets pushed out? The human factor. People get pushed out.
So let me ask you the inverse of that, though. Like, is game intelligence from, like, the actual in-game AI always going to be retarded? Is it always going to rely on button mapping and reading and response timing in order to fuck you over in a grand illusion that makes it look like it's not thinking and it's never actually going to do any kind of even broken thing? Like, I would love to give even current agents put those into NPCs and have them make the mistakes, because I'm like, even in some games, I'm like, I get so sick of, like, yeah, I can tell it's just reading my inputs after a minute. And as somebody who, like, values skill and input, like, that's not cool. That's just janking it to make it feel like this is a real challenge when it's not really a real challenge. So, like, does this even go as far as, like, I know the name is ironic, but, like, in-game AI?
I was about to say, I think we might be conflating things, because you're talking about game AI versus LLM stuff. Those are two different things.
I mean, not necessarily anymore.
But they always have been. Like, I see what you're saying, but I don't think we should conflate the
two. And that's what I'm saying. Will they continue to be separate, or can we incorporate LLMs into
sure
things
hope
like,
not. Fuck.
Like NPC behavior?
I hope Why? Not. Because...
I would love these people to act retarded. Like, come on. Like, I mean, some of the best AIs that I've seen in video games have, like, been like, well, what if I go around the back? Like, and that's not a hard concept.
So you want them to be more retarded then?
Okay, if you put ChatGPT into Counter-Strike, it's gonna whoop your ass 10 times harder than the AI programming that's in there.
Please. I virtually guarantee. Please show me examples of this happening now. Not theoretical stuff. I want to see it actually happening. Like,
you know, that's a good point. I would go look for something like that.
Yeah, because I want to know, has there been instances where somebody put, you know, one of the big large language models, make it play a game and then beat people? That would be interesting to see, you know, because that sounds kind of pie in the sky to me. Anyway, I think we're going way off topic here. Or maybe we're not. I don't know. I already lost track of it. I know Manny's lost track of it. That motherfucker's sleeping, you know?
we're talking about AI video games, and, like, I was just talking about, like, where's the line?
Manny, you know how to give you a little bit of shit, bro. Go ahead, man. Get your nap on. hey, at least you're not pulling a Richard Bailey Jr. and snore during the podcast. You know, let's be real here. You know, this motherfucker works hard, bro. He works hard. That's why he sleeps, you know? Go ahead, Brad. What were you saying, bro?
Motherfuckers get tired.
Yeah. Microsoft gaming, Asha Sharma, AI. Yeah. Okay. Got it. We're back. Yeah.
Yeah. It boiled down to, like, is there any place in AI for gaming, or are we just 100% against it?
Oh, I'm actually glad you're here for this, because we were asked that question a couple weeks ago. You weren't here, and everybody in the panel unanimously said no place in it. So I want to hear your take on it.
Okay. I think that's an emotional response,
which it is,
and not necessarily one born out of logic.
Yours is also going to be emotional too, by the way, just throwing that out there. And you're going to prove me right. You're going to prove me right. Yeah, you already proved me right. So there you go. Keep going.
What, that it's impossible to not have a response that's completely devoid of emotion?
Yeah. No, you're going to prove me right in a couple of seconds, but keep going.
Okay. I think it's impossible to have that, but you can be aware of it and kind of try and navigate around it. I think that inevitably pattern recognition software has its place. I think we already use rudimentary versions of it that are objectively worse in certain kinds of, like, terrain generation. And then we have people come over and comb over it. And I think that people are automatically going to assume that me being like, oh, well, like, if you continue to use AI, now I'm saying you don't have those people come in and tidy up after it. No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying, like, in things like NPC behavior and... usually, like, generation of, like, land and assets and things like that, like basic terrain, they already use generative algorithms. And an LLM is just a highly advanced generative algorithm. So I see no problem with replacing those things with more advanced versions of them already.
I don't I, lo- I, I disagree with that because it's not actually generating anything. It's predicting. It's two different things. It's just literally, I was watching a whole talk on this. It's just literally just making stuff up as it goes. It's not actually thinking. It's not predicting anything. It's just like coming up with like, what is the next possible word based on whatever the fuck. It's not actually thinking itself, you know? And it even got, they even showed it. It's like, dude, they gave it a math problem and it got that shit wrong. You're a computer. You're not supposed to get math wrong, but because it's predicting things, it's like making up stuff. It's not going to come up with the right answer, you know?
Okay, so do you think that we've lost the technology that they used to build Skyrim?
No,
I'm not understanding.
It's a different technology. Skyrim was not built on a large language model. Correct me if I'm wrong about that, but it is not the same thing as whatever intelligence they were using for Skyrim. This is a very different thing, you know?
I know.
It was built on a small language model.
But there's got to be things that we've learned. Like, large language models, the way that they do associative connections, there's things to learn from that. Like, I don't think you just necessarily just, like, plug that shit in, but, like, at the same time, like, okay, so how is large language models doing image generation?
Oh, that I don't know. My thing is, I think large language models are fundamentally flawed because, and again, I'm not making up these numbers. 15 to 45% of the time, they will make up shit, just generate it, right? I think they need to be replaced with something that is not as like prone to flaws. You know,
but that's the perfect thing. That's how people are, Tony.
No, but I don't want a computer to be like a person. I want it to be like a computer. If I say what is like Manny and I were talking about this. If you tell enough times 4 plus 4, 4 plus 4 is 9, it'll eventually go, yeah, you're right. Even though it's fucking 8, it will eventually just go with you. You know, I don't want that for a computer. A computer should not be like that. It should be, you know, quote unquote, better than us in that way. You know, so my thing is like, and Brett, just to be clear, okay, I am not against you chatting with a computer and getting useful answers. I'm not against that. I just think based on what we know about large language models, the way they are built right now, they are fundamentally flawed and we need something better.
OK, I'm fascinated by this. OK, so do you think that in your games,
they're not large language models? I reject that premise outright. Just throwing that out there. I am not conflating game AI to LLMs. They are two separate things.
Yeah, AI that exists now for character interaction and all that stuff.
Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
Is scripted. They're all scripts, right? They're scripts based on what you do, how your health is, whatever. They take in all these statistics, but you have to code that. Sometimes they manually code scenarios, right, to get the scripts. That's how bots operate. They don't learn anything. They're not trained. It's just scripts. And then more advanced scripts, they do more advanced things. With language models and what you were talking about with image generation, which is diffusers, right, and like Tony said, it's all predictive. It starts putting out pixels, right, but it knows it has to shape it into something, right? That's how image diffusers kind of work and then generate an image. With language models, yeah, it's all predictive, right? It's trying to, based on what you give it, based on what it's trained on, it's going to try to formulate a response. But that's not...
You guys moved the goalposts on me, though. Like, that's exactly thing what as they...
If I, no, if, we're trying to get it right because you're conflating the two. That's the problem.
Okay, let me set the record straight then. Before you interrupted me, Tony, I was talking about dialogue, which is large language models, not diffusers like Chris is talking about. I was talking about how I'm okay with people, simulated people in my games, dialogue, having psychosis or being wrong, because I find it a very natural and human behavior when you don't know something to just make shit up, because I've met people before and I have no problem with the people in my game being flawed unless they run hard against a narrative script. Now, to what Chris is talking about, that is diffusion, but that is just a more advanced version of what they did to generate the terrain in Skyrim, is it not?
It's a different thing, man.
No, it's not. It's literally a predictive model that they used to generate the terrain that said what's going to theoretically come next, a rock, a tree, a bridge, and they generated the map of Skyrim and then hand went back in and rearranged it.
But they weren't using the same technology. It was a different technology, though.
It was the technology that eventually kind of turned into diffusion image generation. It was a precursor to that. And I'm saying that the technology that we have now is that plus more. If we can use diffusion generation to generate entire ass pictures, then yes, they can use it for the first pass of the next Elder Scrolls as long as they go over and curate it as much as the last one.
But now you just changed things. You started talking about dialogue. Now you're talking about image generation. Which one is it then?
We've both talked about both, and I'm trying to touch on both while keeping them separate. If we're talking about large language models, that's limited to character interaction, right? Not story, not world building, character interaction, because the characters are portrayed as human and humans are fallible. And so the psychosis is an acceptable thing in that instance.
Okay,
If we're talking about game building, then I am still fine with them using a basic generative thing like they did at the beginning of Skyrim. And I'm okay if they update it using the diffusion models, but I still want them to go in there and then hand curate everything over top of that.
Yeah.
So like, I'm okay accepting psychosis when it's actually kind of quirky and fun and acceptable. And like, I'm okay with them updating their tool set, but I am not okay with them replacing any person, because like, it needs to be cumulative. It can't be subtractive.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, well, that's okay, where I live.
Okay. That, I understand where you're coming from.
That's where I was too, Brett. Like, I don't want it to go down the slope where the DM is removed, right? Like, I want the dialogue. If the dialogue is like, okay, we're going to generate it and you're going to have people outline it. You have people write and then curate the dialogue and whatever. But if it's just like, oh, we don't need people to curate the dialogue. Hell, we don't need outliners. We don't need storyboards. We don't need, we don't even need oversight. You know, where it gets scary.
No. And I'm even speaking like in the cutscenes, I want everything directed and acted and everything like that. If you want to take AI and like synthesize like some shit that they may say in the background, or if like, let me talk directly to them outside of cutscenes, cool, fine. Like, I don't want to lose those curated cinematic moments. If you want to, let me just talk shit to the person in the car next to me, like, if you want to let me just talk shit to Jackie and then have Jackie just come up with stupid shit back to me in Cyberpunk, yeah, I'm okay with that. I don't care.
I would like to interject and say I'm with Brett on that point in particular. And I've been with your point, because I this is something Brett's mentioned in previous episodes, and I fully agree, because I feel like, you know, when we're talking about, you know, dialogue, in particular, when you talk to an NPC that, you know, only comes up with one line, or maybe a couple, like two lines, that is always the same two lines all the time. Like, it's just, you know, it's a static thing that's, you know, hard coded into their program to always do the same thing. But if you can, you know, let's say you can make a random NPC, like, you know, the Crimson Desert has, from what I've seen on the videos, thousands of NPCs. It's like, it looks ridiculous how many NPCs, you know, show up. If they all can have like, or at least have a semblance of a character that, you know, might do something different every day or every part of the, depending on what happens in the game, that'd be something interesting to try to tackle. I'm not saying it's possible or it'll work right the first time or anytime, but you know, it's one of those things where I can see where AI could do a net positive, at least on that. You know, there's a lot of negatives, and I'll voice all those as well. But in terms of, you know, dialogue, NPCs, even if it's just texts, like they don't have to be voices. You can just go up to an NPC, click press A, and they'll show different dialogue than you've seen. And it could be so different where every time you start a new game, that character's completely different than the one previously. So there's a lot of dynamicism within that. So I do agree with Brett.
Yeah. Go ahead. I got to say something about that. Go ahead.
Add in the nemesis system. So every time somebody's wrong or lies, they get shamed as being a wrong or a liar. So by the end of the game, they'll be like, the dragon's over there. Don't listen to them. They're a fucking idiot. And like, that's the one time that they're right. I don't know. Like, it's.
Well, you don't need the nemesis system. That's where the hallucination comes in.
Okay. Yeah, my only worry about that is they would need to keep the conversations constrained, because I did test out NVIDIA's demo for, you know, like you just talking to AI. You can just ask it whatever. So it's like, let's just say you have, you know, Elder Scrolls or whatever. You start talking to an NPC that's, you know, running off a large language model, and you just decide, hey, what should I cook for dinner tonight? I had, you know, actually, which pizzeria should I go to tonight? I live in New York City. And then they answer you instead of going, what the fuck are you talking about? If they could put that kind of restraint, because AI will just answer you. Like, for example,
Go ahead, bro. Could they just feed it only like those 90 million like texts? Could they just feed it every in-game text and be like, only learn from this?
Yeah, like it would have to be restrained because, again, like, for example, if you go to Google Drive and stuff, it you think it's just supposed to tell you, you know, what's in your files, right? But if you ask it deeper, it'll start going on other tangents, you know, because large language models, they're people pleasers, right? So if you want to ask about other things, it will absolutely do that because it wants to keep you engaged. That's the other thing they don't tell you. These things are built to keep you engaged and they will always ask you follow-up questions, you know?
I think that's so much.
You know what I'm talking about, right? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but they're also built to be sycophantic and try and be omniscient. Like, I almost like the idea of, like, using a constricted training data and then training the AI to be like, oh, like, and because that's believable in that sense. Like, I almost feel like doing that for a video game would be way easier than actually trying to train like an actual comprehensive aligned, even like, you know, passing AI, like having a bunch of especially like I'm thinking like in a Fable game, like having a bunch of inbred, uneducated feudal townspeople rolling around, half hallucinating, half just saying stupid wrong shit all the time. And every once in a while, when you're like, no, where is the barber? They're like, oh, it's down to the left. You're like, are you sure it's to the left? They're like, oh, sorry, I meant right. I'm like, fuck this town and these stupid idiots. Like that, honestly, that feels immersive to me. I don't know. Like it's, there's a point where you can like even embrace the weird frustrations in like a wabi-sabi-esque way. Be like, yeah, it's a town full of bumpkin morons. Everybody's an idiot here.
The ability to ask somebody a question and they give you the wrong answer, just like real life.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's the one place I think I'm actually okay with it. So like, and we've reached that level of idiocy now. Like, I think we're there. So like, we can, in that instance, sure, I'm good with that. Yeah, as long, yeah, stay away from the writing though, and don't do anything where like me talking to an AI affects the world state at all. Because you're just gonna, that's just gonna end up with a runaway thing. Like, no. Big plot decision, whatnot. Yeah, I mean, they need to go through cutscenes or whatever. Still, like, you can't just hand it off and be like, oh, because, like, I've seen some actually hilarious shit of, like, people plugging, like, AI into their Skyrim companions. And, like, I don't know if you guys have, okay, if you haven't seen, take the time to look up some of the videos where people have put in Dagoth Ur as a companion in Skyrim and given him AI chatbot because he just says the most ridiculous, like half of them are scripted and the other half are just like nonsensical, weird gibberish. And it is the most insane, funny shit ever. But it's broken and it's stupid. Like that's, you know, it's halfway to glitch. So like, that's kind of the point, but I think that there's something there. I don't think we need to be coldly against it because I think if we're coldly against it, it's just going to happen anyway. I think it's, you know, we can't hold the sea back. The best we can do is direct the water. So that's
just I was not coldly against it. I just want to make sure the human factor is not completely removed, right? I don't want this to be like in stages where there's just mass layoffs constantly as they just pare down. It's like an AI just keeps taking more and more responsibilities. That's where I'm at. I love what you're saying about the dialogue and stuff. I just don't want the human factor removed. And in fact, if you go back in Throwdown's past, if somebody go get the Ghost of Throwdown's Past, when we talked about Google DeepMind beating the best Go player in the world back then, I said that that would be great, integrate AI into games to do things like this. Way back in that show, I said it. But I didn't see, like, the freaking jobpocalypse, you know, I didn't think of, like, oh, they're just going to throw everybody away because AI could just do all this shit. That I didn't foresee, right?
Yeah.
So that's where.
And my favorite part, Chris, when they have to rehire all those people when the fucking AI gets everything wrong, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's an example of that outside of gaming. I mean, the CEO of Salesforce, last year he was all gung-ho about cutting heads, right? Mm-hmm. 4,000 people laid off. He's like, oh, no, I don't need these people. AI could do his job. This year he regrets that. Now he has to rehire people because the agents don't do what he needs them to do, right?
Yeah, pretty much. By the way, I think I'm pretty clever about the, cause you know, I always shorten these questions to one sentence. I'm calling this one, did Microsoft flip flop on AI slop?
Okay. That's a good one.
Yeah. Anything else you guys want to say about that before you start wrapping it up? I'm going to take that as a no. So let's start wrapping it up. Go check out everything wonderful happening at the Coalition. I'm pretty sure they're going to have a bunch of cool stuff. I don't know if I'm Negan's back. So we'll see what happens there. I will tell you.
Not yet.
I will tell you. You know what is coming back, though? The motherfucking Invincible podcast, son. You know? So I believe that is this week. So stay tuned for that over on the Coalition. And also check out the TV Terminal. Adam's reviewing every single show that's on television right now. So go check that out. And yeah. And also check out Throwdown this Thursday, where I'm going to give you my full review of Crimson Desert. It's going to be interesting. Manny, do you have anything?
Yes.
You Blood certainly do.
Yes, I certainly do. Blood and Thunder number 11 out on the streets right now. I've retired the Ninja Turtles cover because it's been up, been on for a while. Also, if you are a Bostonite, cover by Kari Randolph and myself for this.
I'm a boss every night.
but if you're a Bostonite and you're a Celtics fan, and you're going to the game, just be sure to have a look around because there might be another cheer card that might have some artwork by us showing up. So yeah, but whatever the next home game is.
Yeah, good stuff, man. All right, start wrapping up here. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube. Join the Discord. Shout out to the Discord gang as always. And check us out on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco. And tonight, I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
It has, in fact, been real.
And Brian Munjoma.
There we go.
All right, guys, we shall return. Peace.
Deuces.
Deuces.